Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they're talking and in the back of your mind is going, why are they telling me this? Ever been in a conversation like that or a monologue, the other side of a monologue like that? Maybe like Sunday morning about 11 o'clock, right? Why is he telling me this? You know, why do we talk? Why have we been talking over the last few weeks about Abraham and Moses and Elijah this week? What? I mean, these guys lived so long ago in a different part of the world. Like, why are we even talking about them? What relevance do these stories have to our lives? And Elijah, I was reading through the story of Elijah today, or this week, I should say, there's just some weird stuff. I don't know if there's any person in the Bible whose story is weirder than Elijah and Elisha, who comes after him. But just some weird stuff goes on that's really hard to understand. And it's like, I don't understand why this connects to our lives. Or why do we even go to this book that was written, you know, thousands of years ago? Why do we even still read from it? Here's why. Here's why we're doing this series, and here's why we go to the scriptures. Because we don't always know how God speaks to us, right? Do you ever have that question? I know it was brought up in a 3G session a few weeks ago. How do we know when God's speaking to us? There are lots of voices in this world, aren't there? There are voices from advertisers and pundits on TV and people all over the place telling us what we need and how we should live. There's even the voices that come from inside of us. And I'm not talking about like mental health stuff. I'm talking about just kind of like our own desires that are telling us something. How do we know when it's actually God speaking? And I think the answer to both of these questions are connected. We come to know God's voice by becoming more attuned to it through the scriptures. In the scriptures, we get to know God. We get to know the kinds of things he says, the kind of person God is, and the kinds of things he speaks to his people. And the more we become attuned to God's voice, that we see clearly in the scriptures, and most clearly we see it in the Word become flesh, Jesus. The more we get to know what God is like, the more able we are to pick out God's voice speaking to us from all of the other voices speaking around us, and know that it's God, and be able to follow. And so within the crazy story of Elijah, this morning we're going to hear God say, go. And I hope that go will help us be more attuned to the ways God says go in our own lives. Because what we learn from the story of Elijah, one of many things we learn from the story of Elijah, is that God's go comes to us in cycles of ministry and rest. Just like we did with the kids earlier. God's go can be a go of ministry, and God's go can be a go of rest. And both of these, God speaks to Elijah and to us. So let's look at Elijah's story. And we're going to pick it up, we have picked it up in 1 Kings 18. This isn't the beginning of Elijah's ministry, but it's a good place to start for us. This is after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year of the drought. And the drought is there because King Ahab and Queen Jezebel and the Israelites haven't listened to God. And so God says, all right, here's what's going to happen. There's no fruit while you aren't listening to me. But he calls Elijah and says, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. And so Elijah went to do this. Now, this go is a hard go. Ministry is a hard thing. You see, Ahab and Jezebel had not only kind of set up, okay, here's Yahweh, and here's the religion of Israel, and here's Baal and Asherah, and the, the religion of this other religion, they had actually participated in the killing of the prophets of Yahweh, like Elijah. And that's why he says, I'm the only one left, because they've killed most of the other ones. And so God's go is a hard go. And you can see that when he comes to Ahab and he says, and Ahab says to him, looks at him and says, is it you, you troubler of Israel? I love that. I want someone to say that about me, right? And Elijah has to say, no, it's actually you. You are the one who's been troubling Israel by worshiping the Baals and forsaking the Lord and all of these things. This is a hard thing that God has called Elijah to do. And it gets harder. Because what Elijah then says to Ahab is, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a contest. All right, you want Baal, and I'm going to take Yahweh. And what we're going to do is we're going to each, you know, bring all the prophets of Baal and Asherah. There's 850 of them that come. And they're going to create an altar to Baal. And I'm going to create an altar to Yahweh. And it's very simple. We're each going to put a bull on the altar. And whichever one the Lord accepts, whoever the true God is, will set that altar, will set that bull on fire, and it'll be an offering to that God. All right? So we're going to find out who the real God is. And so the prophets of Baal go first, and they create the altar, and they put the bull there, and they start praying and dancing, and they're even cutting themselves open, trying to invoke Baal to come and set fire to this altar, and nothing happens. And then Elijah, the prophets are dramatic. Elijah's dramatic. Elijah actually makes the altar, puts the bull on there, then he dumps water on it, which is not something you generally want to do to something you want to set on fire, right? So he dumps water on just to make a point, and he starts just praying. And of course, we know what happens. The bull is engulfed in flames, and the offering rises up to Yahweh. And Yahweh proves that he is the true and living God. And the prophets of Baal are shamed. And not only that, they're disposed of. They go and kill them. Not just because they've picked the wrong side, but here's what happened, is that the prophets of Baal and Asherah had become the spiritual wing of the corrupt and violent regime of Ahab and Jezebel. They were the spiritual justification for the killing of God's prophets. And so they're taken away and gotten rid of. And if you're Elijah, you think this is a great triumph, right? I mean, you've won. You've been vindicated. Yahweh has shown himself to be the true God. And I think if you're Elijah, you're expecting this is going to be a turning point, right? They've seen that Yahweh is the true God. Okay, now we're going to get back to worshiping Yahweh. Not so fast, my friends. After this, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. So I'm coming for you, Elijah. And then he was afraid and he got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself, Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree, and he asked that he might die. He says, it's enough. Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Elijah is just exhausted from this whole ministry thing. Elijah has gone out and he's stuck his neck out and he's been faithful to God's go. And he went and nothing appears to have changed. And sometimes ministry is like that. When I say ministry, I'm not just talking about things pastors do. I'm talking about things God's people do. We are all called as ministers of the new covenant, as ministers of the gospel. We are all called to serve the world in the name of Jesus. And this is how it can be for us. We are called to do hard things. And sometimes we do them and we still don't see the fruit. We still don't see the effect that we want to happen. Following God's go can be like this. In fact, Jesus tells a parable of a sower who sowed seed and most of it doesn't come up, doesn't bear fruit. And he tells that parable to say, this is what it's like to follow God's go and to do the ministry that God has called us to do. So Elijah receives God's go to do the hard work of ministry. And it's exhausting and it's frustrating. He's tired. He's just done. And maybe some of you have gotten to that point. Like, I've been trying, God. I've been doing my best. I'm done. I've got nothing left to give and nothing's happening. Well, you're in good company with Elijah. That's not where the story ends, though. There's another go. And so, as we keep reading, he's under this broom tree. It says, he lay down there under the broom tree and fell asleep. And suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. And he looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And then the angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. He got up and ate and drank. And then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. And at that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. And God said, go. Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And if you've read the story, you know that this great wind comes, but God is not in the wind. And then this great earthquake arises, but God is not in the earthquake. And then there's this fire that comes, and God is not in the earthquake. And then finally, there is this still small voice, or this moment of silence. And that is where God is present to Elijah. See, friends, living the life of ministry is hard. Loving God, loving our neighbors, making disciples of all nations, as Jesus calls us to do. Ministry is by definition going into the muck and mire of our brokenness and the brokenness of the world, and into corruption, and into places where the pull of sin is strong, both inside of us and outside of us. Ministry is hard, and it's messy, and it's ugly, and it's exhausting, and it's frustrating. And friends, I want you to know that God of anyone knows this. Because God did it. God came down and immersed himself in the messy brokenness of this world. And Jesus was tired. And Jesus got hungry. And Jesus had to rest. And so we know that when we are feeling this, these same things, that God looks on us with compassion. And just as he did with Elijah, draws near to us and beckons us and feeds us with his presence. We have the table today right in front of us as a reminder that God gives us the bread for the journey that is too much for us without it. What we need to understand is that the go of God's go of rest is just as much a command as God's go of ministry. Because ministry is supposed to be hard. It is. It's supposed to take everything out of you. It's supposed to be about you giving your life, pouring yourself out for the sake of others. We are supposed to be parched for the living water because we've been pouring ourselves out so much. We are supposed to be ravenous for the bread of life because we have been burning the calories of doing God's work. We are supposed to be gasping for the breath of the Spirit because we have been proclaiming God's word in hard places. We are supposed to need God's rest. we are supposed to need this bread and this cup. We are supposed to need desperately those times of rest in God's presence in which God refreshes us. And that rest better be long enough to get through the wind and the earthquake and the fire and finally into the silent whisper of God. Pete Scazzaro was a pastor in Brooklyn, and he was a go. He followed God's go so much. He planted this church, and he was a go, go, goer. He did and did and did and did ministry for many years. And finally, it was just too much for him, and he was done. And he's written a number of books, but in one of them, he's called The Emotionally Healthy Leader. He says this, which I think is so powerful for us. He says, "I was involved in more activity for God than my relationship with God could sustain." Some of you are go, go, goers and do, do, doers. And friends, you need a relationship with God that can sustain that. Otherwise, you end up with a light like Elijah under a broom tree asking for God to take your life away and saying, "I'm done." But Elijah goes. He follows God's go to rest, and he is fed and heard and spoken to, which are the same needs of all of God's ministers and prophets. And once that has happened, once Elijah has been fed and heard and spoken to, he's called to go again. God speaks to Elijah, says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah answers the same thing. "I've been zealous for the Lord, and now they're trying to kill me," and all of this. And then the Lord said to him, "Go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram. You shall anoint Jehu king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha as a prophet in your place." Now the go that God gives Elijah is the go of raising up the next generation. The message here and the message to us is that this work of ministry that God has given us is bigger than us. And it's beyond us. It's not supposed to be anything you can accomplish or I can accomplish or this church can accomplish in our lifetimes. It's bigger than us and it's beyond us. This past few weeks I've been going back and reading annual reports, old annual reports back from the 60s and 70s. I know, it's a glamorous life as a pastor, right? And it's funny, as I read some of these reports, I see a lot of your names in there. Some of your names, anyway. Leading youth groups and organizing luncheons and doing all kinds of ministry. And that's been a while. That's a few decades. That's decades that a lot of you have been doing God's work and following God's go into ministry for many years. And a lot of you are tired from all of that, all of God's goes. It's been a long time. But you're not done. You need to rest, but you're not done. Because at some point, God's go becomes about raising up the next generation. You need to recognize that this work is bigger than you. And part of your ministry is passing on the work, is training up people in how to do this work, is empowering other leaders and ministers. And you need to take time. You may have been doing this for years and years. Now it might be time for you to call someone else and say, "Hey, let me show you how to do this. Come alongside of me. Because this is going to be your work now. Because this work is bigger than me and it's bigger than you. And so we need to work together and pass it on from generation to generation." And just as Elijah is called to anoint the next kings and to anoint his successor, Elisha, as prophet, so we are called to anoint and to empower the next generation of ministers. Until until finally, the go is to enter into the presence of God in fullness. Elijah and Elisha are walking one day. And it's kind of their last moments. And so Elijah asks Elisha, tell me what I may do for you. How can I empower you? How can I make this work possible for you? And Elisha says, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit. And as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah kept watching and crying out, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Elijah is doing the work of ministry right up to the last moment when God calls him to go and enter into eternal rest. And our work goes on until we enter into the eternal presence of God and await the new creation with all of God's saints. Go and do the hard things of ministry. Go and rest and be fed. Go and empower the next generation. Go into God's eternal presence. This is the cycle of God's go. It's the cycle of ministry. And so that's a lot, but I want to share three takeaways from today, just to summarize real quick for you all. Three takeaways for today. One is that God's go is going to be hard and tiring and messy. That's one. Don't expect anything else. It wasn't for Jesus. It wasn't anything else for Jesus. It's not anything else for us. It's going to be hard and tiring and messy. You should be tired. Two, God's go isn't always a do for me, but oftentimes it's a be with me. So don't think God's go is always about doing and what you can accomplish and achieve. Listen to God's call to go and be with him and be fed and refreshed. And three, God's go at some point must be about a work that is bigger and beyond us. God's go is to go to someone else and raise them up to take your place in this bigger story. Sisters and brothers, as we approach this table today, there are some of us who need to draw near to this table because we're not living God's go. You might be tired. You might be exhausted. It's because you've been living life in your own strength, in your own power. And you need to come to this table and listen and be near God so that you can hear God's voice speak to you. And the invitation to you is to come and be near, and to let Jesus get under your skin and fill you up and guide you and direct you. And there are some of you who might need to come to this table today because you are famished and parched from living out God's go. You have been encouraging the depressed. You've been lifting up the vulnerable. You have been speaking truth to power. You have been loving people who are hard to love. You have been doing ministry and the hard things of ministry. And friends, the invitation for you is to come. And this is bread for the journey. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. Unless you stop and rest and are fed by the bread of life. So whoever you are, wherever you are on this journey, come. Get up. Eat. And be filled and refreshed by our eternal God. Amen.